and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wayne.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Legends Podcast is cracking open the cinematic vault and bringing you a whole month of cons, capers, and car chases. Whether you're a pair of bank robbers or wondering just who is Kaiser Soze anyway, you'll find the big score right here on our podcast. This is Aug Heist. This week, we're discussing Bryan Singer's film, The Usual Suspects. After five New York ex-cons are put in a lineup for the same crime, they band together for a series of jobs that will lead them to California and to a mysterious mastermind known as Kaiser Soze. Told entirely in flashbacks ex post facto, Christopher McQuarrie's script takes many twists and turns in revealing its secrets. But 25 years later, and after the fall from grace of both singer and star Kevin Spacey, does The Usual Suspects still deliver the goods? Or, like its trademark twist, has it been spoiled for you? Gentlemen.
Does that happen? I don't think anything of this happened.
This is one of the very first movies that I owned on DVD. And High Fidelity and like two other ones that turned out to be phenomenal and I had no idea about. God, I love this movie. They're actors. Who cares about their politics and all the dumb shit they've done? This is still...
I think we care about sexual abuse of minors, right? I think we could maybe draw a line there.
Yes. But I still separate all that from them, usually.
Art from the artist, death of the author. That's definitely an argument that we've had before on this podcast. We talked about Bryan Singer, or I guess you guys did, with X-Men not that long ago. But at the same time, this film was definitely in that block of mid-90s films where people seem to start caring about movies again, right? We had Tarantino. We had some great work from Spielberg. And at the same time, you had all of these auteurs having big breaks in cinema. And we did a whole year devoted to the cinema of 1999. And I feel like this started that wave. The Usual Suspects was definitely hanging around on dorm room walls as much as it was in the critics' to-do, right? So
there used to be a guy in Hollywood that loved the first movies and different takes, the Tarantinos and all of that. That's another guy we don't really want to talk about.
We don't mention Miramax, right?
Miramax had an eye for these kind of things, but...
And was this Miramax? Did I miss that at the beginning? I don't think it was.
I'm pretty sure it's either Miramax or Buena Vista, which were both brothers. So
it's interesting that this is another non-heist movie, right?
Because nothing happens. Does anything of the movie really happens? Because it takes everything from... Spoiler alert. Takes everything from the clipboard and what's in the room.
The unreliable narrator...
Yeah, so nothing. Once you have the twist, the whole movie is superficial because nothing happened.
I like to think that he stitched just enough, not truths, but, you know, things that may have happened, because he's still talking about a life as Virgil Kent, right? He's talking about this life that verbal Kent. I always thought it was Kent, too, until this time when I read it. But he's talking about this life that he has crafted to... Pull this con. I don't even know. I love it.
Do you think that he... Okay. So there's a twist in the film, and we might as well get it out front right now, right? So, spoiler warning for one of the most spoiled plot points in moviedom, along with Rosebud is the Sled. Sorry, Citizen Kane fans. Sean included, right? So the twist of this film is that Kevin Spacey, who we think has cerebral palsy throughout the entire movie, is one, he does not. Okay, so first off, he's faking a disability.
You right? should know, because they keep calling him the cripple all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They call the attention to it. It's his identity. Yeah. But at the same time, he is the plan guy. He's the guy who comes up with the plans for the heists and the jobs that they're pulling off, right? He comes up with the plans, the man with the plan. But he is also, and again, this is the narrative flourish of the film, where you realize that he is Kaiser Soze, who, the guy who has been built up as this Baba Yaga type boogeyman of the underworld, but also he invented many elements of the story, possibly all of them, including this legend of Kaiser Soze, right? Although the other, the FBI agent played by a very young Giancarlo Esposito.
First time I recognized him was this watching.
Right. Very young. Gus Fring. But he clocks the name Kaiser Soze. He knows the name of Kaiser Soze, right? So other people at least are aware that Kaiser Soze is a real figure.
Burned Hungarian knows his name, clearly.
Right. Yeah. Now, is it verbal Kint, or he's just spinning this yarn? We don't know. But at the end of the film, Kevin Spacey's character leaves the police station, walks down the street, and as he's walking, the camera is on his feet, and you see that the limp and dragging his foot that he walks with straightens up, and he appears to lose his hand straightens out. He loses all affect of having a disability and gets in a car.
And he lights a cigarette and gets in the car and drives off. And in the very beginning, he lit a cigarette and all you could see was his hands down. And then the very first time Kevin Verbal goes to light the cigarette, he like he doesn't have a lighter, and then he fumbles a lighter and drops like very clumsily. So, I mean,
well, he takes a piss off the balcony too. Like that happens.
Right. But if you see most of these things again, you start to pick up on more of it. Like right at the end, one gold watch and gold lighter when he's getting his shit back to leave.
Right.
I think the one thing that really did happen, though, that we can call it's an Aug heist for this reason, is the New York's finest taxi cab.
Okay.
Whether they did that or not, I believe, because the cops knew about it, I thought.
Presumably, yes. Presumably, yes. So
because
that
then
is,
didn't the cops, the CI or the whatever they call it, come in and crack all the people down?
Yeah. So there's what, three big jobs that they pull in the film. The first is the taxi cab scheme where they they pin the car in on the street and take the cop's badge at the end. Now we know where you live.
But tip off the press as well, and IAB.
Right. Then there's the parking garage smash and grab, where they try to get the case, and it doesn't have that goes south. It doesn't have jewels in it. It has drugs. And then the boat, the ship at the end, which turns out not to be a robbery, but a hit.
I mean, they needed the A-Team music playing at the end.
Yeah, agreed.
Because the bad guys couldn't hit shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good point. But this is, again, this is a classic heist setup. So they all meet in this lineup where there was a robbery, and they're all kind of
denying
the usual suspects. And what film does that line famously come from? Anybody catch that reference?
No.
Casablanca. Claude Rains' character says, "Round up the usual suspects."
Oh, nice.
My God, okay.
And that was kind of the line that launched the idea for this movie, I guess, many years later. But it's a common expression, you know, round up the usual suspects. And these guys are. They're all supposedly career criminals. Gabriel Byrne's character, Dean Keaton, was once a cop who went crooked.
I wish we knew a little more about that.
We have Stephen Baldwin as Michael McManus, Kevin Pollak as Todd Hockney.
Who stole the truck. I'm glad we find that out.
Yep. Verbal Kint, Kevin Spacey, and then Benicio Del Toro in one of his first Hollywood roles as Fred Fenster.
He looks so young, and I love his mumble, his mush mouth thing going on.
Yep.
When he aged fast, because he looked like that in James Bond, like 5 years later, like that, and then 5 years later, he looks like what he's looking now. Right. It's poor man.
And they are pursued by Chaz Palminteri, Dan Hedaya, and Giancarlo Esposito as the lawmen after them.
I heard his voice right away, and I'm like, no way, that can't be Esposito. And I'm like, yeah, it was. And then they walk into the hospital, and someone with a 2020 COVID mask over his face says something, and I'm like, there's no way. And, of course, it was Mr. Clark Gregg, otherwise known from S.H.I.E.L.D. fame and Avengers fame, as
Agent Phil Coulson.
Yep.
So that's so funny that you mentioned that, because we had just watched the series finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
And I had kind of Clark Gregg and all that on my brain, and then we're watching it, and you know, we're now in coronavirus times where you're used to people speaking with masks on, and you've learned to, like, all the local newscasters, you've learned to recognize people's voices despite the fact they have a mask on. Like, we go to the store, I hear my wife's voice talking through the mask, whatever. And so they're in the hospital, and I hear the guy talking, oh, you have to wear a mask, you have to wear... I'm like, wait a second, that's Coulson. That is totally Coulson. So I Googled it real quick, and it definitely was him. But and he has, what, two lines, and he always has the mask on, so you wouldn't really recognize him. But we did. We're eagle-eared.
Absolutely.
Was it a bondage mask?
No, it was a surgeon's mask. He was a doctor.
Oh, damn.
I mean, depending on what kind of role play you're doing.
It was a mask.
It was a bondage mask.
It was a agent mask.
Okay. This to me, this is one of those movies that's like that's not that close, but it's kind of like Memento, where I know the story.
Oh boy, okay.
But I know the story, but I never really know exactly how it plays out. I know it's linear. Right. I know it's told in flashbacks, but it's just like,
sure.
I don't know. I don't know. I can go I back and enjoy it.
This was a little bit of a charm for me this time, because I knew the twist, and I kept saying, probably half of this did not even happen.
Right.
So, and for me, it's a little bit like The Sixth Sense. Once you know the twist, it doesn't have the same.
Really?
So Lobster had never seen this movie before, because the twist had been spoiled for me. So I was like, well, shit. Now that I know that Spacey's the guy, I'm not going to... And I had somebody once kind of explain the movie to me. And I was like, well, now I'm not going to watch it. Like, there's no point.
Okay,
right?
Well, and?
And I liked it. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's a well-crafted film.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely low budget. And I kind of appreciate that about it.
It's like, what, $6 million or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it costs almost no money to make. It has a cast of people you know, but who aren't stars. Like, no one in the cast is a huge star. I mean, maybe Gabriel Byrne, because he had done what? Poltergeist? What did he do? The Omen? One of them.
When you had a Baldwin, you had your token Baldwin.
You had the maybe third most exciting Baldwin after Alec and William.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you had Kevin Pollak. I mean, you had all these people that were
known
kind
as
of,
a comedy actor.
Right.
Right. And
I like the lawyer. He was fun.
The lawyer. Yes. So Pete Postlethwaite is the British actor, right? He's British.
Sure.
Or is now I'm blanking. Maybe he's Australian.
He seems very menacing, whatever he is, always.
He has a Japanese name, and I think he's speaking with an Indian accent, is what that's meant. He's meant to sound like.
Yeah, because it comes in Pakistan, right?
Pakistan.
There you go.
So he is speaking, I think, with he's basically doing Ben Kingsley in Gandhi, right? Like that's what he's doing, and that's weird. He also looks tan, right?
Mm-hmm. Go so, get a tan. We need you to have a tan for this role.
Yeah, go get a tan.
Did you notice? Did anyone notice
a spray tan, man?
The cigarette butt from Redfoot right to Stephen Baldwin's eye hole
actually happened. He's supposed to flick it at his chest,
yeah,
and then on camera he flicked it and it just went in his face, and the guy said, "What the fuck?" And that's his honest reaction.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's because I figured it's not like you're not going to aim for someone's head, and aiming is right. Not well with a cigarette butt.
Sure,
so.
Sure. On a windy promontory in front of a pagoda. So
I was going to say gazebo, but you're right. I don't know why I was going to say gazebo.
I mean, it's not a gazebo.
But yeah.
So, I mean, you've got a stacked cast by today's standards, right? But at the time, again, nobody's a huge star. Kevin Spacey is known for, I think he'd done The Ref, Glengarry Glen Ross at this point. He had just done Seven, or he was about to do Seven.
Around the same time.
Right around the same time, right?
Yeah.
So he was like a guy you kind of knew, but you didn't know. Again, Kevin Pollak had done more comedy type stuff. So, but something about this movie, you get everybody together, and this is like a proto Ocean's 11, right? You have all of these great actors doing dialogue, and that's what most of the movie is.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. That's the same in the same vein. It's just that they don't really have a heist as per se as much as a
con. No, but I feel like you have the setup at the beginning, putting the team together. They kind of talk about everybody's role. You're getting that in narration from verbal, and you have them pull off these little jobs, kind of leading up to the big job. And the twist at the end is not how they got away with it, it's how he got away with it. And he's told this whole story, but then you wonder, did it really happen? Was all of that true? Was it just wind up? Was he stalling? Again, at the end of the movie, Chaz Palminteri's character says, you made bail 15 minutes ago. So was he just stalling?
Needed his car.
Needed his car, yeah, waiting for his Uber to come pick him up.
Seven was 1995, so same year.
Same year, okay. I knew we were
close. He had a good year.
He did, yeah. Christopher McQuarrie wrote the script. That name will be familiar to you because he went on to work on the Mission Impossible films, which very much start to take on the heist vibe, I think starting with Ghost Protocol.
Agreed. He went to the same kind of style of writing in some ways.
And so. I believe he's directing now as well, directing them.
Well, he's directed these two, Rogue Nation and...
Fallout,
yeah. Oh my God.
So, yeah, The Usual Suspects. Again, this movie is 25 years old, which is crazy to think about. I'm aged old. Pretty well, right?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's dialogue heavy and...
Yeah, I would say it aged pretty well.
Singer's direction, I think, is competent. I don't know if this sort of blows me away with anything. I think the script is maybe the stronger point of this film.
But the dialogue. I would say the dialogue.
That's what I mean, yeah. The writing.
It's still fun to look at. I mean, it does me right in the non-heisty stuff.
Yeah, there was something about Gabriel Byrne really wanted to shoot in L.A. they were going to have the whole story take place in New York, but he really wanted to be in L.A. or something like that. Nothing which I guess like, is fine. Yeah, I guess, sure.
Nothing like free plane tickets.
Yeah, I go back to, I wish we had seen, so Giancarlo Esposito gets the fax at the end, right? And that's very clearly Kevin Spacey. So we're supposed to assume at least something happened that involved him.
I'd like to believe he told the truth.
Told the truth?
I mean, at least most of it. He's like, if I play this right, I'm will never be looked at as...
a suspect.
Right, as Soze. Like, I'd just be known as verbal. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He figured he was the smartest guy in the room, clearly. He knew he was being recorded even in there.
And is that the whole thing, like, anonymity is your greatest superpower?
Yeah.
I think so.
No, if no one looks at him or believes him capable of being the mastermind, I mean, he changed names based on the coffee cup and things he read on the wall, but...
Right.
I mean, is the gist of it true?
Again, I'd like to think so, but he did interjaculate a lot of those names and things, but and uh-huh. He wasn't adding different things, I don't think, to their story. Maybe just changing names and such. Like, Barbershop Quartet was just a random bullshit mm-hmm. from the past. But, I don't know. He didn't really lie too much about their days or weeks together or whatever it was. Unless I'm misremembering. But
yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have evidence in certain places that connects them to scenes of crimes and things like that. I wonder who started the rumors about Kaiser Soze and if it was him. Like, oh, did you hear about this guy from Hungary? Sounds like a total badass. And then, like, he got that started. And
that would be a good idea.
Yeah, but like you said, the feds knew about him, right? He's got a desk on. He's got a file on him as big as my arm or whatever.
Right, sure.
So, or maybe Verbal just goes around and blabs shit like that. So all uh-huh. these unknown crimes are now attributed to Soze, you know?
Or there's more than one Kaiser Soze.
Right. It's like the Red Hood.
Or the Shadow.
No one knows. Another bald knows.
Yeah, the Shadow knows.
Shall we do the thing?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that we have to talk about with this.
It twist definitely, movies, that's what happened, man.
It's a twist, but at the same time, I think a good heist movie has a twist in it. So I think this plays for the theme of the month.
Keaton always said, I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of him. Well, I do believe in God, but the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze and rating this movie. Wing for the usual suspects. Are you going legendary?
The big score.
Legend of its time.
Vaulting ambition.
Cult legend.
The long con.
Awesome.
Clean getaway.
Entertaining.
Nice pull.
Mabel.
Con job.
Forgettable.
Sticky fingers.
Abysmal.
Cheap fraud.
Spring Breakers D&D.
88 minutes. Oh, no, that was last week's movie. I don't have one for this one. Maybe The Ref, I guess?
I like sure. The Ref. Yeah. All right. With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of Moe's, who is Kaiser Salsa. Welcome Kaiser to Moe's.
That is awesome.
You've never noticed that?
No, I don't know what Moe's is.
Moe's is like a Southwestern taco and burrito chain. They're kind of like a Chipotle, but they have better chips.
Okay. Well, I'm on salsa now. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
You want salsa or salsa?
They have better queso. I'll put it that way. Their chips, I can take or leave Chipotle chips. They have better queso.
Okay. I'm still going to give this movie an entertaining. For some reason, our generation seems to remember this movie as, like, the best thing since Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not a bad movie. It's entertaining as hell. But once you know the twist, you know the twist. And that's kind of it.
Right.
So I have difficulty giving more than that to this one. So... Yeah, I'm gonna go with entertaining. You should watch it if you don't mind. Yeah, you should watch it. Beep.
I gotta go exactly what Kaiser Soze or Verbal did at the end with a clean getaway. I gotta go awesome. This is one that even for me, even though I know the twist, when I come back to it, I thoroughly enjoy it every time. I mean, I probably pop this one in once every 2 or 3 years, a couple times a year, here or there, whenever I'm doing it. I like it. It's fun. It's well-crafted, it's enjoyable, and it doesn't rely on a whole bunch of explosions and dumb shit, and other than their little ramble run at the end. But I like it. I like the banter between everybody. They're all criminals in their own right. Some of them have worked together. Some of them haven't, but they are all on a level playing field with different, you know, attitudes and bravado and shit. So, yeah, awesome for this one. Clean getaway. Lobster.
Yeah, so this one is a little bit tough for me to assign a value to. Again, this was my first time seeing it.
Crazy.
And it sounds like from what you guys are saying, that's the best time you're going to have with this. So I'd be tempted to go as high as A Cult Legend, The Long Con, because I think that's where this movie sits for a lot of people. I'm going to give it an awesome. I think this movie makes a clean getaway in terms of, again, watching it now, you're watching it with a little bit of baggage, right?
A little bit.
It's a competently made enough film that you can, if you can suspend disbelief and separate art from the artist, as I believe you should, you can settle in and enjoy a well-told story. The fact that that story is a story within the film, notwithstanding, it is, I think, well made, right? I think the movie holds up to at least that standard. So I think this is a clean getaway of a film. I think in looking back on Bryan Singer's career, this one doesn't have a lot of horrid backstories. He didn't seem to be in the kind of pattern of behavior that he established on later pictures. Certainly, there is something weird about Kevin Spacey in this film, pretending not to be a predator and turning out to be kind of a big shark. You know, it's art imitates life in a way, but again, I love the rest of the cast. I love Baldwin and Pollock and Gabriel Byrne, Benicio del Toro. Giancarlo Esposito is great in this. I think everyone turns in a solid performance. So this is a really great, well-rounded cast. No one's overacting or acting over each other, which is good too. So, yeah, this is a clean getaway here.
Last word on Usual Suspects.
Line up.
Hand over the keys, you cocksucker motherfucker.
Salsa. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
Yeah, so we have box office numbers, the likes of which we have not seen since March. Like, this is crazy. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run, is open in 300 theaters. Right behind that, Unhinged is open in 299. So, again, this is, we're getting to the high-low digits here. So, yeah, I mean, this is definitely something is happening. I know that theaters in Canada are starting to open a little bit more broadly than theaters here in the U.S. Wing, is that true for Montreal?
Not my province, no.
Okay, so we are, again, starting to see the slow but steady increase in box office numbers. We have some other new releases like Sputnik this week as well. So again, modest numbers around the board, but definitely The biggest weekend since March at the box office.
That's so Woo-hoo. Crazy.
Yeah, at least theaters are making a little bit of money.
Did a plane just crash into somebody's house?
Yes. I'm under a plane line. Usually it's not necessarily a problem, but it's really hot today. So
okay, so you got the windows open. Yeah. I get you. All right, so we're going to count down the top five news stories of the week. I'll kick us off at number five with Bel Air, a drama series take on The Fresh Prince of Bel Air, is in development for streaming. So this is a fan trailer that kind of imagines a dark take on The Fresh Prince of Bel Air from Morgan Cooper. The production studio owned by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, along with Universal Television, has picked this up, and they're pitching it to different streamers who are bidding the shit out of this to set it up.
This actually could be pretty good. I saw the trailer or whatever a couple weeks ago.
What did you make of it?
I'd give it a few episodes. It's just a more real take of a kid being raised on the streets of Philadelphia, and instead of just it being goofy, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we've come to, I think.
Yeah, but that's not why you watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I know. It's just, what do we always say? Take a property you know, and then there are a name you know, IP, and then change it. I mean, that's...
You're right. But... Sure.
All right, Wing.
I'm not on board with that. Okay, that's the only news though that I'm not really familiar with. But Netflix closed a deal with Disney to buy a trilogy of film called Fear Street. These films seem to be ready to air next summer. So yeah. That's fast. They want to air them 1 month apart. I think the big news in there is that Netflix is still in business with Disney in some ways, which is kind of surprising with everything they've been ordering in the last couple of weeks.
So my take on this is Disney developed this property. So Fear Street, and I realized that the way I slotted these news stories in, you're probably the only one who's not familiar with the Fear Street books.
I have no idea. That's the only news where I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Tell me this rings a bell, right?
No, not a lot, but the R.L. Stein books ring a bell from when I was younger.
Right. So R.L. Stein was a prolific children and young adult author in the, 80s and 90s. Yep. And he is most famous for his younger skewing Goosebumps series.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Dude cranked those out. He also had a more mature, in that it was targeted towards teenagers, Fear Street series. So, again, playing on horror tropes, but kind of setting up more of a teen theme. So, I remember when I was reading the Goosebumps books, and I got a little older and started reading the Fear Street books. I was solidly in the Ermagerd, Gershberms, My Favorite Burks generation.
Ermagerd.
You know what I mean? So I was excited for this. My read on this is Disney was going to develop them, realized maybe it's not the right fit for, I guess, Disney Plus or whatever, so Netflix is going to air all three movies, consecutively a month apart.
Yeah, this is already shut and ready to go. That's the
yep.
The other thing that's impressive there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you guys know that we're fans of The Boys.
Yes.
Right?
A little bit.
Well, at least the Boys first season. We don't know about season two yet.
But it's coming soon. Season three is already in development. And Supernatural's Jensen Ackles will be joining to play Soldier Boy, kind of the Captain America of the Boys universe. And I think we can all get on board with this.
I have no idea who this gentleman is, but I'm really intrigued by the character. Go ahead.
Yeah, go.
I was just going to say, their take on everybody already is perfect, you know, so It'll be fun to see the older, oldest and most cynical superhero, probably, I'd imagine.
Yeah, these boys for Supernatural, of Supernatural, they like canceled Supernatural and stopped working right away on a bunch of stuff. This is the same producer, basically, on this that was on the Supernatural. So yeah, I'm guessing
Eric Kripke.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's why they got that job. But
and Padalecki is going to do Walker, Texas Ranger, right?
Oh, that's true.
So they're both going right to well-known, established properties.
Well, I guess why not at that point, huh? You want to have a paycheck after 13 seasons?
You've done one show, exactly, for over a decade. You might as well jump on board and keep doing it.
Especially if it's someone you know you can work with, right?
Right.
Then it's easy sliding over.
And again, this is not the first comic book character he's played. He was the voice of the Red Hood.
Oh.
Huh. Well, yeah, well, voice. He was the voice of the Red Hood, like a lot of people, but good for him.
I know he was in sort of like back channel talks to play Batman at some point. Is that true or not true?
That I have no idea.
Okay.
Because recently since AT&T bought Warner, they've been going like, let's go crank out the Batmans. We used to could only have one guy that was Batman. Now we have like four right now?
Sure.
I want my Batman Beyond.
Yeah, exactly. You want your Batman Beyond, and we have our Batman on Titan and our Batman on the movies and the other movie. And
yep. Potentially TV series and animated. And
there's a guy playing Bruce Wayne in Batwoman. I mean,
yep. Who voiced him in the animated show.
Hey, good for him, too.
Just saying. So, okay.
AMC theaters, when they reopen, will be charging 15 cents for admission. Roughly the equivalent of what it cost to watch a movie 100 years ago when AMC opened its first single movie screen in Kansas City, Missouri. After a major
pandemic.
Yeah. But they also took a little bit longer to wait and open them in 1920. Sure. The movies that people will be able to buy tickets for won't be new blockbusters. They'll be legacy titles such as Black Panther. Come on, that's not a
legacy title.
Well, one of the most successful blockbusters that didn't have Avengers in the name.
We agree, it's just the term legacy title.
Yeah, it's the legacy part that's weird. They're talking about reopening, though, in all the phases, and 63%. Is what Nolan's Tenet will get, and everybody is like demanded to wear masks other than eating. Yeah. And what is it? AMC says after the first month, it'll go up to $5 a ticket.
In fact, I believe the studio said in order to get Tenet, you have to make your customers wear masks.
Yes, of course. So, but that's still, there's going to be a lot of people that don't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So AMC, you know, is a presence here in New Jersey, but they are not allowed to reopen yet. So,
do you see this thing they snuck in here? The theater chain is also offering incentives to members of its subscription program, AMC Stubbs A-List.
Yeah.
Huh.
Of course.
So they're going to try to get you to back in there any way you can as soon as you're legally able to do so. I would encourage people to follow all the proper precautions. But again, I'm starting to get the itch, and whether it's Tenet or New Mutants, I may have to go sit by myself in a dark room.
Wear your mask, and
wear my mask, yep. I think the key for that is probably a long-lasting chewing gum.
I agree. Yeah, I've discovered that my breath is changing really fast in a day.
You notice it a lot more. You definitely, like I have this routine where before I go out, I know I'm going to wear the mask for a while. It's mouthwash is my go-to for quite a while, and then I put the mask on.
It's not a bad practice. Not a bad practice at all. So your government is catching up and wants to charge Netflix and other service cable fees?
Yeah, so this is weird. So this last story, our number one news story, and again, I'm the one who puts this ranking together, so this is my number one story I wanted to talk about. Ars Technica and other outlets have reported this, but Ars Technica kind of has the biggest breakdown. So four cities in Indiana and some other states are suing Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus, claiming that the streaming services owe cable franchise fees. Now, there's a key difference between the way that cable works and the way that terrestrial antenna-based television or satellite works, and that is right-of-way, right? So the cable company has to have right-of-way to run the lines to bring the cable into your house. Now,
right.
Those are the same lines that are now, for the most part, bringing you your internet, right? We're all up
right.
on high speed and yada, 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 and so forth. And the primary bandwidth usage now is streaming. I would argue that Zoom, because we're all now working from home.
Pornhub.
Pornhub, sure.
Oh, yeah.
So you could add to the list an almost infinite number of other sites, including playing Fortnite and, you know, whatever else you're doing
listening with your computer.
Listening to this podcast, recording this podcast.
This is a very slippery slope.
Sending yep. this podcast to Beef so he can edit this podcast. Beef uploading this podcast to the cloud.
We're going to get charged. Fuck.
The backlog so, that we would get.
Oh my
what,
God.
What these cities want is 5% gross revenue in each city.
Well, 5% of nothing's nothing. I think that's stupid. This is a really slippery slope that's going to ruin a lot of shit.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't see this necessarily. If you want to get a cut of the revenue, I would be going after the internet service providers because they're the ones that people pay for the service.
Yeah, right? But they're the one that have lobbies.
I'm pretty sure you're going to see Netflix and Hulu, et cetera, lobbying.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty
at this
soon.
Point.
But
the thing is that Lobster's point, though, I mean, yes, everyone has Netflix because it's the oldest, but everyone, no matter what services they have, streaming or otherwise, have mm-hmm. Internet service provider. That's like right. suing the gas station attendants for selling you gas, but it's really uh-huh. the oil companies that you're mad at.
Sure.
Eh.
Well, I mean, this is like suing Hyundai for an oil spill, right? Okay, Hyundai's a car maker. Hyundai cars run on gasoline, but Hyundai doesn't transport the oil from the Middle East to your gas pump. You know what I mean? Like,
ill-advised.
I get what you're trying to do, but you're... One, you're barking up the wrong tree. Two, I mean, there's nothing to stop Netflix from making it so you can't watch stuff in Indiana. Indiana could just disappear from Netflix.
Oh, my right? God.
And no one in Indiana could log in. And if that happened for a day, I'm just saying one day, right?
Well, it's Indiana. Nobody's going to figure it
out. Or you'd have to watch it on your phone.
Yeah, or you just, you know, because they know where you're, you know, dialing the request from, it just doesn't play. Or you can only watch Bright, the original Netflix film Bright. That's the only title that will play.
No, that's the Ryan Reynolds streaming service.
So great.
I do enjoy that. But again, I think this is, you know, I'm all for parity and, you know, free market competition. And if people owe you something, they should pay what they owe. But I don't think this is where we're at.
No, this is someone trying to get rich.
Yep. And cities in particular trying to get rich where, you know, they're just going to end up owing more in court fees.
Yeah, but they like paying court fees in America, no?
Yeah,
isn't that
they do.
Like a national sport or something?
Yeah, we are very litigious. Okay, so some quick hits that we can run through really quick. Tickets for Tenet will go on sale Friday, August 21st. So that is coming up very quickly.
It'll be interesting to see the numbers because no one's going, and or if people go, it'll be a shocker.
And again,
or,
these are pre-sale tickets for the sort of phased in select cities openings. Elizabeth Debicki will play Princess Diana in The Crown season 5 and 6.
I think I really liked her in The Night Manager.
I was just going to mention The Night Manager.
I love that show with Loki, right?
With Loki and with Dr. House. Very good show. She has shown up in some other stuff. She was in Guardians of the Galaxy and so forth. Tall blonde woman.
I like
to play a tall blonde woman. I think it totally works. And Jonathan Pryce will play Prince Philip in the final two seasons as well. Sad news we have to report. The actor Ben Cross, who starred in Chariots of Fire and as Sarek in the 2009 Star Trek, died age 72 today.
It's too bad.
This is sad news. And finally, some Augheis news. We can report a very late-breaking story, but Daniel Day-Kim from Lost and Randall Park from Fresh Off the Boat, from The Interview, will team up for an Asian American led heist film at Amazon Studios.
Okay. I mean, I like free stuff and I like those guys, so
it's not free. You pay for it.
We pay for it. But or people in Indiana will pay for it after their state pays the court fees. So I'm excited for this. Again, it's another heist movie. It's representation in cinema. I just saw these two. They're both in Always Be My Maybe, which I think I mentioned last week or the week before. Great actors. Daniel Day-Kim is such an awesome actor. The fact that he hasn't done as much after Lost as you kind of would hope, I think it's very cool that they will be teaming up. Randall Park is great. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we will dump some trailers, yeah.
Yeah, dump some trailers fresh in your lap. The Duchess coming to Netflix.
This looks weird. I mean, it looks fun and quirky, but basically a single mother wants to have another child.
And she has a choice of sperm donor, douchebag ex, or current douchebag boyfriend.
Yes. So it's
not a choice.
It's not a choice. This is Catherine Ryan, who is a comedian. Very funny.
The next one that is too much on the nose and shouldn't probably even play right now is Utopia.
Oh, weird pandemic.
Yep. Weird pandemic that was predicted in like comic books and then people, uh-huh. I don't even know where it goes from there. The trailer just looks weird and I kept going, pandemic. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is a comic book series. Well, in the show, Utopia was a comic book series that came out like 10 years ago. People are slowly starting to realize that everything that happens in the comic book has come true, including this global pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. John Cusack, Rainn Wilson, a bunch of cool people are in it. It looks weird and creepy. It's an Amazon TV series, right?
Yes.
I think it looks cool.
Something that I think looks amazing and might actually make me go back and watch the first three seasons.
Yes.
Fargo season 4.
Yes. You know it's an anthology. You don't have to watch the other
one. No, I know. But this, I might start here and then go back because this looks amazing.
It's interconnected.
Oh.
So this is, I went back and I checked. This is the exact same trailer that we watched many months ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Except it's updated with their new release date because of Corona. So this will premiere on FX on September 27th and twice on Sundays.
I will definitely check it out. This looks fun and good, and we will get to, definitely. Mm-hmm. Talk about it a bit.
Okay. So movies that you can watch at home or binge watch, if you will.
I see the first trailer. There.
See what I did there? The first trailer is quite the surprise. The movie is called The Binge. But what is it a parody of?
The Purge. I think this looks hilarious. Yeah. And this looks dumb and funny, just enough to be hilarious. Basically, there are no drugs or alcohol in the United States. And then one night a year for 12 hours, you can get shit-faced and everything is legal.
Yes. Holy shit. Do you imagine? Yeah. Oh, the level of heart attacks.
See, I don't even think you'd like it that much, though, because then you'd have no time. 12 hours isn't enough time.
Right.
Jeez. I don't know. I would plan my vacation on that day, and I would go down to Wisconsin. That would be a 12 hours of debauchery.
Oh, yes, it would. We could still do that, though. So, we just limit ourselves to 12 hours.
I love that The Purge has become something we can parody now.
Absolutely.
After The Purge franchise itself skirted very close to reality, I think they did one, was it like the first Purge or something like that? And it looked like 2020. But I love that this is, you know, for one night only, all drugs, all drinking are legal, and just have fun. It's got Skylar Giordano from Booksmart and Santa Clarita Diet is kind of the main actor in it, and I love him, so I'm excited. Okay, the next movie is called Unpregnant.
They needed a better title than this. I get the point, but it just doesn't.
Yeah. So it's about a teenage girl who lives in a state where abortions of a certain type are not legal because she's under the age of 18 and she doesn't want her parents to find out. So she asks a former friend to drive her across state lines to have said procedure. So it's a road trip movie. It's a coming of age story. And
it's Smokey and the Bandit with abortion?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Sure.
Sure. That's coming to HBO Max in September. The Binge is coming to Hulu. And then we have Coastal Elites, which is another one of these we filmed it in quarantine type movies. It's basically a bunch of liberal people telling jokes.
Great. I'm getting tired of this bullshit.
Have you watched much of this bullshit, or are you talking about quarantine in general?
No, I've watched much of this bullshit. At first I was like, oh, that's cute. They're doing something with an iPhone. But now there's a new thing every day. And
we've been watching stuff shot on iPhones for like the last 10 years. Because we're podcasters. We get how that stuff works.
Stay in your lanes, people.
Stay in your lanes. Let us do the stupid shit. The Devil All the Time, coming to Netflix with Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, Sebastian Stan, great looking cast.
This looks messed up.
Sometimes it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
This looks like The Lighthouse meets Hillbilly Elegy meets, like, I don't know, but cool, right?
The Lighthouse is fucked up.
I still haven't seen it yet.
It definitely is. But it is good. And then Enola Holmes, again, Devil All the Time, coming to Netflix. Enola Holmes, coming to Netflix. The trailer for this has only been released on their Twitter, officially. And it is a code you have to figure out when the release date is. I figured it out for you. It's an anagram. But it's Millie Bobby Brown, 11, from Stranger Things.
I do like her.
Playing the precocious younger sister of Sherlock Holmes.
I'll give it a try because I like her, but I don't...
It's a movie, too, so I don't think it is... it's not a full series, so it's not a big time commitment.
Oh, perfect. It's an hour and a half, 2 hours, probably Saturday afternoon. Yeah, right. I'll give it a try.
Henry Cavill in it, so...
With a mustache, I hope.
Without, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
He should always have a mustache now.
He should never... Saying. Well, if he's going to have a mustache, let him have the mustache. Don't try to CG it out.
Superman can have a fucking mustache. Jesus.
Yeah, well, come back with a mustache? Or actually, come back with a full beard.
Facial hair? What the hell's wrong with that?
So, in the comic books, because, you know, he has Kryptonian hair follicles, the only way he could trim his beard was by shooting his laser vision into a mirror and bouncing it back on his own face.
Okay, so many problems with that. First being,
Wing, am I getting this right, Wing?
You're right, but what Beef's about to say is also right.
How does it not blow a hole through the fucking mirror? For the first problem.
It doesn't work, yeah.
Well,
that's the solution.
Listen.
Okay. Anyways, new trailer for Mulan on Disney Plus.
Yeah, so again, Enola Holmes, the code is September 23rd is when you get to watch it. So Mulan is coming to Disney Plus Premium Video on Demand September 4th. Now, how this works is you have your Disney Plus account. You have to pay for Disney Plus, and that's, what, $4.99, $6.99 a month, something like that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so you're paying that monthly fee. On top of that, you pay $30.
Damn.
And that unlocks Mulan in your Disney Plus account. You have access to Mulan through Disney Plus as long as your Disney Plus subscription is paid up. Cancel your subscription, lose Mulan, even though you shelled out $30.
So even if it takes...
You can watch it as... It's not a rental. You can watch it as many times as you want, but...
So wait a minute. So brilliant. Then it's going to compile. Okay. So are they going to sell it on Vudu or Amazon streaming as well? Or lease it on there?
Not yet.
In 6 months, they're going to sell you a DVD or some shit. Probably.
Again, not yet. So, you know, you could assume that, but that's a one-time transaction. That's not going to get you a copy of the Blu-ray once it comes out.
Okay.
Or a digital copy that you can, I'm making quotey fingers, own.
Right.
Wow.
So I got in a conversation with someone and I said, listen, I'll pay $30 for Mulan if McDonald's brings back the McNugget sauce, right? The Szechuan sauce, right. That was a big deal for the Rick and Morty fans.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's worth it. If
just,
they bring back.
Just buy a bottle of Szechuan sauce.
It's not the That's same. It. Oh, it's not the same, and the rumor is even the re-release sauce is not the same because they didn't save the recipe. So
why would you not save the recipe? You're a multi-billion-dollar company.
It's in a computer somewhere. It has to be. It's not an old lady making like Szechuan sauce in the back of her house.
There's actually a podcast about this. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but there is a podcast that investigates this.
Well, when you find that out, let me know, because that sounds just weird enough, I might give it a listen.
Yeah, I will share it with you.
All right, spoiler-free review. What have I been watching? Thanks for asking.
What have you been watching, Beef?
Future Man, again, still. It's a little slow and goofy still, but man, it's got so many good jokes and so much in stuff that it's. I'm still slogging through the beginning because I'm told.
And this
it's
is
very
this
good.
Is time travel, right?
Yep, this is time travel and on Hulu, and I guess there's like three seasons now. So
okay,
yeah, it's at least interesting. Lower good. Decks, I am continuing with, and I am really glad that this show is around because it is hilarious. It's
fucking awesome.
It's a bright spot in an otherwise sort of depressing time.
Very much so. But... And all the in-jokes don't hurt, you know?
You know, I've started to read, after each episode, articles that kind of go through, like, these are all the Easter eggs and stuff that you saw. But I've started catching them on my own, which is... I feel like I'm now training myself to really get a good eye.
And the other thing I watched, Lovecraft Country. I will not
Lovecraft
spoil it.
Country.
I finished it just before this show, and it has so much potential.
So I'm going to go on a rant in a minute, but go ahead. Tell me what you thought about. 1950s
or so. Yeah. It's follows mainly black characters, so there's all the hate and racism, and it's just... It's a powder keg of tension and awesomeness, and you don't even get to the weird stuff until the last 5 or 10 minutes of the first episode, but still so much potential. I'm ready for this.
It's the Jim Crow South, right, is where it takes place.
They did a road trip too, but it's not good.
Okay.
Not good.
So, guys.
Lobster.
Current shows. Watching? Oh, my gosh. Let me talk to you about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC.
Oh my God, didn't they end like 6 years ago?
They did not. The show went on for a full 7 seasons.
Nice.
It did Star Trek numbers, guys. 7 seasons. The series finale was this past week. I was very emotional, but satisfied.
Good.
Okay. I don't know what happened with this show, but it went from being like the flagship to the forgotten stepchild in the basement of Marvel, and was all the better for it. I think once they kind of had the creative freedom to do what they wanted with literally no money. There's a joke in the finale about being in hallways for 5 years, because that's basically what the last 5 seasons of the show were like. They literally filmed in the same gray hallways the entire time. But I think the key to creativity is constraint, and by having no money, they couldn't do the big budget shtick, so they had to make character-based, intimate, compelling stories with this comic book setting. And again, I encourage everyone to go back, rewatch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., catch up if you fell behind. Solid conclusion. You won't be let down.
That is one I'd like to get back to.
The final season is all time travel,
nice.
Which is amazing and ends reminiscent of Time Crimes.
Okay.
The way they layer everything in. Okay, we have to go back to this time and do this thing. We have to go do this thing, or else nothing works. So good. But of course, it already happened, so it had to happen. Star Trek Lower Decks. Lovecraft Country, I have not watched yet. Why haven't I watched it yet? You guys know my rant on this, right?
Yes, the Fire Stick thing.
Yeah, so it's on HBO. So here's what we found out. My wife has an iPad, and she presented at a conference a few years ago. So she has a dongle for her iPad that will connect to the HDMI cable. So we can hook her iPad up to the TV and stream a TV show on the TV in HDMI in that way. That sounded really boring the way I just said it. But point is, we're going to give it a shot with HBO Max. I will report back. Hopefully next week.
Okay, brother, we love you, but if that doesn't work, just please use the browser on your smart TV.
Yeah, I don't think that works. I was playing around with that, and it doesn't seem to be feasible. You guys remember we stole our TV, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, you got it for super cheap after
Yeah,
Christmas
we got it for, it was actually a floor model from Costco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we basically paid negative dollars for it. Like they paid us to take it, basically. So it's not like the most current model. A lot of the updated apps don't work on the smart TV software. That's why we have the Fire Stick for our streaming and things like that.
Is there a like Internet Explorer app on the Fire Stick?
Again, because of the way streaming rights and things like that seem to work, no. There is a way that I've read, actually, friend of the show, Brian, whose whiskey I'm drinking right now, sent me a way, you have to put the Fire Stick in developer mode and allow this app and all that. So they're yeah. The other thing he suggested is Chromecast, basically screen mirroring and do that. But
you might get a lag that way, but yeah, hopefully something works.
Hooking up the iPad, we'll give that a shot and see how it goes.
My fingers are crossed for you.
I'll just watch it on my phone, but on TV, we've been watching Catastrophe on Amazon Prime. That's like a Fleabag-type show. It's in that same vein. It's British, with Rob Delaney, who's an American actor as well, is in it. Pull list. Let's see. I've got some back issues I'm trying to collect of Adventure Man, the Star Trek comic book they've been putting out, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. There's a Star Trek Voyager comic coming up, Wing, from IDW, you might be interested in. It's 7 of 9s. It's supposed to connect to Voyager and Picard.
There's one I read about today, a new Wolverine tale coming out called Black, White, and Red, and it's going to be all done in black, white, and red on all the comics. It looks very, cool. The some of the artwork I saw today, I was very excited about. I even took a note down, and I don't do comics.
Yeah, guys, I know I've mentioned it before, but I really think this current run of the X-Men comics, we may look back on with the same reverence that we did to, like, the Chris Claremont run. I'm just saying. It's pretty. They're pretty good right now. If they can keep it up, would be cool. Wing?
Oh my god, I haven't been doing much. Played a little bit of Batman Arkham Knight, and it's basically been it. I just squeezed the movie for this week, and lots of studying. So my my free time allocation is very small. So
it's important. Self care is important. Take time for yourself. Try to work something in for pleasure. Hey, even if it's Queeby.
I watched Star Trek Lower Deck. So
that's very good.
That was fun.
Very good. What do we have to look forward to for next week? I think it's a good movie, right?
Very excited for next week. Next time, Legends Podcast. Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
Huh.
What I don't think I've mentioned to you guys is this is written by the same guy who wrote Sicario.
I think I did know that.
I didn't know there was a heist movie, though.
It is a bank robbery brother movie.
I think I've seen it once, but I'm excited to watch it again. So,
yeah, it's good.
Have a comment, question, recommendation? Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com, with an extra S for Soze. This has been
Soze is spacey. Oh, sorry.
No, Soze.
This has been episode 486 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, woohoo, heist movies.
I'm John D saying, hey, another one I haven't seen next week.
I'm Lobster saying, how did August go this fast? Aug heist go this fast?
No, we skipped a week. I feel robbed. We skipped a week.
I feel robbed.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast plural. For all our contact information as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.